But first, we got Donald Trump with us, President Donald Trump. We got President George W. Bush with us. You're like, what? This is John C. Morgan. Welcome.
Good to see you. Thank you so much for having me on. It's an honor and a privilege to impersonate two men that I deeply respect.
Well, have you ever impersonated them with them in the room?
I actually met George W. I didn't do a shtick, if you will, with him. But he threw his arm around me, and as my wife took the picture, he said, if I had a face like mine, I'd be mad as hell.
So what did you do for a living before you all of a sudden started impersonating George W. and then President Trump?
I worked in Mom and Dad's appliance store growing up right here in Orlando, Florida.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. And so give me your best. This is your camera right here. Give me your best George W.
My fellow Americans, the time has come for us to do the right thing, not only for the Americans, but for the Canadians as well. That's my strategery.
Now, normally when you do him, I'm guessing you do makeup and hair and all that, right?
Right. And well, so this is the hair.
This is the right hair now.
Yeah. When I was younger, I used to have to put gray in the hair.
Yeah. But now you got no more. Yeah. Now, and when you do impersonation of President Trump, you have the hair.
I have a whole wig.
Whole wig.
Now, you so did, fantastic.
I'm going to have you do him, but first, you didn't come dressed like that today. Why?
I'm here as myself. I'm just a concerned Christian man who wants to make a difference in the world and use the tools God's given me as a singer, author, songwriter, and concerned, compassionate.
What are you concerned about for America?
I'm concerned that the church is being diminished by the overreach of government and the very powerful onslaught of the devil, frankly.
It's a spiritual battle.
That sounds kind of religious, but...
Yeah, it is religious. It's Ephesians 6, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities.
We've got to put on that armor, pal.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, sometimes when I'm watching you talk, you actually have natural,
You do a thing long enough, it starts to stick.
Yeah, I keep seeing George W., and I'm like, did that come because you were impersonating him for 8 years, or was that your... Is that it? Because I'm seeing things, I'm like, that's George W. right there.
Yeah.
If you're not doing it, you're not impersonating him when you do it.
I know. I have people on airplanes tell me, in the middle of a conversation, they say, I have to stop you and tell you, my brain keeps telling me I'm sitting next to the former president.
And you're not impersonating him, you're just talking.
Right.
And they don't know you're an impersonator of him, right?
Well, sometimes they'll ask, and it doesn't take much.
Yeah, it doesn't take much, and you think it's him. That's really true. All right, so... you're concerned about the overreach, losing our religious liberty?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the church is rising up, and people, individuals are rising up and growing in their courageous willingness to speak out.
Yeah. Let me talk to you. It's fun to laugh. We talk about such heavy things. It's kind of fun to have you on to laugh a little bit as well, but then also to find out about your concern as well about our country, what's happening in our country. Have you met Mike Lindell?
I've shaken his hand.
Okay, good. All right. I don't know if you've seen Jimmy Kimmel and what Jimmy Kimmel does with his fake mic and everything.
I did see that.
Sometimes it's been funny, and Mike has really laughed and said, that's really actually pretty funny, you know. And Mike was on Jimmy Kimmel a year ago this April.
I saw that episode where he had the mic on, and they had the fake mic come out.
And Mike Lindell was a good sport, went along with it, right? But recently, within the last week or so, the fake mic came out and was being blaspheming God, we believe. Mm. We thought it was very sacrilegious and blasphemous. Being perverted, we thought, in some of the things he was imitating. When did we cross from Johnny Carson, telling jokes about both Republicans and Democrats, but then he'd have those very people on his show? When did we cross from making fun of politicians in a way that was acceptable and humorous and everybody gets made fun of and it's just kind of good humor? I mean, we go back to the Founding Fathers, they were drawing and making fun of them in the cartoons and the papers then, even back when the papers were, because we didn't have obviously television. So that satire about our elected officials and leaders, that's gone on. But when did the line cross that it became so perverted and mean and personal?
I think when the left decided that they would attack people on the right for the things that they had to say. And there used to be this kind of friendly back and forth between the two parties. One side would mock the other side would mock that side. but it became politically incorrect. Politically incorrect became a weapon, and people were shut down on college campuses, and then they started adding labels like hater, you know, and all the other homophobic and this and that and this and that, and attacking people for just telling the truth in a satirical way.
Yeah. Well, Dana Carvel, was that his name? He used to do impersonations of George H., and George H. brought him, I think, to the White House once or twice, right?
Dana
Carvel. So obviously...
And George W. brought a George Bush impersonator to the correspondence dinner.
That's right.
Stood right next to him.
Yes. I didn't know if that was you or not. I thought that was you.
People thought that was me, and yeah, I say we all look alike.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was you. But the point I'm making is, obviously, George H. and George W. did not feel that those impersonators... Hey, John, did not feel that those impersonators were being so personal and mean-spirited that they were like, no. So in other words, they were able to laugh at the impersonators because it was in good humor and good fun, and they could laugh at themselves too. But that's not where we're going today. It's gotten mean.
It has.
I wonder if that's because, like Saul Alinsky said, the greatest weapon is ridicule. The greatest weapon is sarcasm and ridicule. Ridicule, ridicule, ridicule.
Well, as far as I know, President Trump is the first president to stand up to that ridicule, to stand up and say, no, I will not stand by and just take it. George W.'s approval ratings at the end of his second term were in the tank because of
the media. He never defended himself.
Never
he wouldn't defend himself. It made me so angry that he wouldn't defend himself.
Right. He felt that to defend himself was to stoop to their level.
Right.
But Trump kind of one-upped him.
Yeah.
And did a masterful job at it.
I mean, you can't go out and defend yourself against every crazy thing, but certain things reach a level and you have to respond, I think. And he didn't do it. And it frustrated a lot of people
that he didn't
speak up for himself, his administration, his cause. And when he was right, he didn't do that. He just, like you said, went along with it. President Trump said no, and he spoke up. And they didn't know what to do with that. They did not know what to do with that, did they?
He made a tremendous impact. And all of America moved with him to, he gave us a voice. He gave America a voice to say, we don't have to put up with it.
Right. The things that President Trump was standing for, I've said to several people, those ideas were around long before Donald Trump. He just picked up the cause of the American people and represented it. Those issues were around before him. So he's really the leader of, he was the leader of a movement that was already established.
Very much so. Absolutely.
People say, oh, you're so committed to this, Donald Trump. Like, wait a minute, these ideas were around long before Donald Trump ever even started talking about some of them, right?
Right. He just put them on steroids.
Yeah, he did. All right, so what do you do for a living now? I mean, do you get paid to go and impersonate? Do you go to corporate events? Do you get hired by corporations, parties, what?
Right. I'll do all of the above. At the beginning of a major conference, people will bring me in as an opening guest.
Right.
And it'll have all the hoopla, security, Secret Service, and, you know, hail to the chief plays, or in the case of Donald Trump, you know, Lee Greenwood's
God bless USA.
God bless the USA.
And you come out.
And then I come out and I address the audience, and it's funny and yet authentic feeling. And then after a while, I'll confess to folks, you know, I'm not really Donald Trump. And they'll say, would you like to meet the real me? And right there in front of 5,000 people, quickly toss the wig off my head, and bam, right before everybody's eyes, I do this quick change-o, and I'm George W. Bush. And a lot of people say, I wasn't sure if it was Donald Trump, but I was darn sure it was George W. Bush. You know,
who do you like impersonating the most?
Well, Donald is a little more challenging for me. It's been a lot of more work, but now that I've gotten that work under my belt and I'm good at it, I like that.
Yeah.
But I love doing George W. because he was like my buddy for years, you know.
For 8 years, right? Or more, because you're probably impersonating him before you started running.
Even as through the Obama years.
Oh, wow.
Because the whole Miss Me Yet movement.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, yes, yes. What about Ronald Reagan? Have you ever worked on that one?
I have. I've worked on it. It's not ready for prime time, but next time you have me on, okay, I might show you a little Ronnie.
So if people go to johncmorgan.com, they could find out more and even hire you for a corporate event and that kind of thing.
That's right. Birthday parties, big-time corporate events, church functions. I'm a gifted fundraiser for your nonprofit crisis Banquet. Pregnancy centers.
Oh, really? You do that?
Yeah.
So you're very pro-life.
Oh, very much so.
Good for you.
Very much so.
Good for you. So a lot of nonprofits could bring you in, and it's clean, it's wholesome, and you embrace their values.
Their values. It's a neat blend between humor and authentic commentary, because I also wrote a 5-star book called War on Fear. What would you do if you weren't afraid?
Wow. Now, were you aware of Lindell TV before you walked by?
Oh, yes. I'm a big fan of Mike's. Yes. He's, talk about courage. That guy's crazy.
Yeah, he does have courage, that's for sure. All right, so that camera right there, before you go, if Donald Trump were here, President Trump were here, and he's going to be here tonight, but if he were here right now at our booth, what would he say?
He would say, folks, if it had been me in the White House, none of this would be happening. Putin took me seriously. Okay, everybody knows that I don't mess around. The guy that's in there is like a tinker toy. He's like a little tin soldier, okay? We need real leadership in America.
That's excellent. John C. Morgan, johncmorgan.com. I got to do another George W., would you?
Laura, bring me my shampoo.
You are really good at it. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
God
appreciate
bless.
Your waiting around. We needed a laugh after a few of these serious. We're over here talking about nuclear triads and EMP and
you got
bioweapons.
You got some more seriosity coming up, too.
Yes, we do, George. Thank you, John.
Right, God bless.
JohnCMorgan.com. JohnCMorgan.com.